the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and in holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who was wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. And the rest laid hold of his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast is indeed ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and his feet, and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. For anyone following the news this week, it was a real roller coaster ride of church news. Anyone following the secular news, on Monday there seemed to be a great explosion of joy in the secular newspapers. He said, the church is going to change her teachings about people with same-sex attraction, about people who are divorced and remarried in communion. And there was this great hope in the secular media for great changes. Then later on in the week, the story changed. And if you read the secular newspaper, they then said that the revolution that was planned has now been suppressed or has been undercut, and there will be no change. And what a disappointment this is, at least to the secular news. For those of us in the church, though, it was a great relief to know that the perennial teaching of the church, it was upheld by the majority of the bishops there, and the teachings are to remain. And it is providential that we have this gospel on this Sunday, for what the gospel is presenting, this parable, what it's presenting, is really what the argument, or maybe not argument, the discussion at the synod was about. So the first people who were invited to the wedding feast represent the Jews, of course, and the ancient Jews, and they rejected the invitation. So the kingdom then passed from the Jews to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were then invited in. And this represents the state today, that all are invited to the wedding feast, that is, to have communion with our Lord, that is, to be a member of the church, to be saved. Everyone is invited to come to be a member of our faith. However, once a person responds to that invitation, they have to change. We have to put on the new man. As St. Paul says in the epistle, that we are to put on the new man. Who's the new man? Of course, Christ, the new Adam. That we are to put on the wedding garment. That's what this wedding garment represents, is putting on the new man. We have to do that. Now, what the discussion was about was saying that on one side, some people wanted to just, and this is in the church in general, we want to make sure everyone feels welcome in the church. Everyone should be open. But then there are some who forget about that second half. That yes, you are to come, but then everybody is to then strive for the change. The change in their life. What change is that? The transformation in Christ. And this is the second part that many times we don't hear about today, or that some people don't really want to talk about. They want to say everybody's welcome, and then they don't say that second half, and it's implied kind of, and some people actually think this, that, well, you don't have to change, that you're okay the way you are. And that's wrong. And at the synod, this was what the big discussion was about. Some didn't want to say that second half. But we have to say it. We have to be honest. We have to be truthful. That everybody is welcome in the church. And the church was created for everyone. I guess we should say that also. And it was created for us. But once we enter, then we have to change. God will not save us without our participation, without us doing something. He created us without our help, but He will not save us without our help, without our doing something. And that's what the wedding garment represents. That's what putting on the new man represents. You know, every time the priest says Mass, we're supposed to be reminded of this, because this is what the white alb represents, putting on the new man. The altar servers, they're in surplices. That represents the new man, that white wedding garment. We're to be reminded of this. Everyone, though, is supposed to be transformed in Christ. And it is not, while we live in this life, just a one-off action. Oh, I did that years ago, Father. Now I can just cruise. I've got my wedding garment. Everything will be wonderful. No. But while we live in this life, we're continually being transformed in Christ. In Christ, that is both in by His power and into Him, into an image of Him. And for everyone, this is a daily struggle. Sometimes we get the idea that there's an initial struggle and then we're kind of there. And we kind of cruise along, plateauing, everything is fine. No. That the struggle always continues. We keep going up and up and up, climbing the mountain to God. And in a sense, the ascent becomes steeper and steeper. But it becomes easier and easier. Because as we become more holy, as we become more transformed into Christ, then the spiritual difficulties, then, although greater, are easier to overcome because we become closer to Christ and closer being able to receive more graces. So this is our spiritual life. And we have to face this every day. We're to pray every day. There is no way out. Like I said, some people think there's no escape from this. Some people think, well, I'm there, I don't really need to pray as much anymore. No, that's not correct. Everyone should pray a minimum 30 minutes. If someone does not have 30 minutes to spend in prayer, you are too busy. You are too busy. 30 minutes, you've heard me say this, if we give it a grade, it is the C-. It is barely scraping by. And of course, the best prayer to say is the rosary. Here in the month of October, the month of the rosary, we're to remember that. Our Lady came at Fatima to remind us of saying the rosary every day. It is a good prayer. We put ourselves in Our Lady's hands. She who bore our Lord and transformed him initially, gave him his body, and then raised him, fed him, clothed him. So when we put ourselves in her hands, she will transform us in Christ. She only leads to Christ. So let us not be fooled that everyone is invited to the wedding feast. Everyone. We have to welcome them. We have to respect them. We have to love them. But we must also be truthful with everyone and with ourselves, that there is a continual transformation in Christ, that each of us is to put on the wedding garment every day, to clothe ourselves with the virtues and the graces of Christ, so that, of course, at the end of our lives, we will be found worthy when we meet the King, God the Father, and He will find us clothed in the garment of His Son and welcome us into the wedding feast, the eternal wedding feast, banquet in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.